All right, we have a special guest on the line, Bill. Would you like the honors?
I would love to. Jeff Foxworthy joins us right now. Jeff is a comedian, an actor, a writer, a producer. He's the guy, you know, you might be a redneck. I think that's good. I think you could
Jeff
Foxworthy, I think. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you today?
Excellent. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Jeff, I don't know if you'll remember this. I was just telling Wendy, years ago, you and I worked together at Zanies in St. Charles, and you had a book that came out that week. And you inscribed it to me, and you put something very lovely, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'll just give you a rough estimate. You said, how in the world did you ever decide to get involved in stand-up comedy? Your friend Jeff Foxworthy.
I didn't write that.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't write
You
that.
Did. And I thought that was the funniest thing in the world, and I hope you did too.
It doesn't seem, it seems out of character for Jeff. You seem like such a nice guy.
Yeah, I know it. And then I write something like
something
that.
Something so mean. And, that
and then
did,
you quit.
That was my last day in stand-up. I said, I can't do this anymore.
You know, the funny thing, I was telling somebody not long ago, the funny thing about that book was I got turned down by the first 14 publishers I
what?
Sent that book to.
Why?
Well, nobody thought it was would work. And then the 15th one, the guy called and he said, can you come in and talk about this? And I was like, wow, I haven't gotten this far before. And he said, I think this is kind of funny. He said, how does $1,500 sound? And I was scared to reply because I didn't know if he was asking me for $1,500, which I didn't have. And he's like, no, we'll give you. I'm like, well, let's do it. And I said to him, how many of these do you think we will sell? And he said, oh, I bet we sell 5,000 of them. And I, you know, think that book sold like 4 million.
You did all right with it.
Yeah.
You did all right.
So every time I see him, I'm like, hey, I'm glad you don't know anything more about the book business than I do. So.
How'd you start out in...
Sell them in the back of the clubs for $5.
I remember that. And that was brilliant because you...
Stand there and sign them. Yeah.
Why not? People get to meet you. They get to talk to you for a little bit. They walk away with a book and you walk away with a couple of bucks. That's a nice, that's a nice policy.
All right, so how'd you start out in comedy? Is it true that it was a dare from someone?
It was a dare. I look back, when I was a kid, I would save my allowance, and I'd buy comedy records and memorize them and go to school and do them. But I didn't really think it was a career option, so, you know, I got a job. I worked at IBM, which sounds like I'm really smart. I carried a tool bag. I fixed my feet. I was always the guy that was doing impersonations of the boss in the break room and getting caught. You know, so it wasn't like
did
I
he
was
laugh at least
back to the stars or anything. And a bunch of guys I worked with used to go to the local comedy club in Atlanta called the Punchline, and they were having a contest, not like an amateur night, like a contest for comedians, and they entered me in it. And I'm like, guys, I've never even been to it. So I went 1 week and I watched and I went home and wrote 5 minutes about my family and went back and the next week and won the contest the first night I was on.
Wow.
How about that?
Not bad, Jeff.
And actually met my wife that night. I met my career and my wife the same night, same place.
She was in the audience?
She was there. She used to act and she was there rooting for a friend of hers that was a comedian. And so, you know, she came up.
And said, "You're funny."
And I was so nervous, I turned around and spilled my drink right down the front of her. And I said, "Well, I guess you'll never go out with me." And she said, "Well, you didn't even ask." And that was 32, 33 years ago.
Not bad.
What a
Jeff.
Sweet story.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. When you come up with something like you might be a redneck, do you know right away? Do you say to yourself, "Well, this is going to take me places"?
No, I'm not that smart. You know, with that, it was kind of a response to, I always wore jeans and cowboy boots. I drove a truck. And so as I got out of the South and started going around the country, it was always good natured, but people were like, ah, Foxworthy, you're nothing but an old redneck from Georgia. And I was playing outside Detroit. And one night after the show, we're sitting around the club, and they're kidding me about being a redneck. Well, the club we were playing in was attached to a bowling alley that had valet parking. And I said, if you don't think you have rednecks in Michigan, look out the window for valet parking at the bowling alley. And I went back to the hotel that night. You know how it is, Bill. I mean, yeah. You're always looking for something to talk about. And I'm like, look, I know what I am, but apparently a lot of people don't. And I wrote 10 Ways to Tell, never thinking, oh, it's going to be a book or it'll be a hook or and went and tried it the next night. And not only did people laugh, they would turn around pointing at each other.
Oh, wow. That's a good sign. Now, that bowling alley slash comedy club you're referring to is called Chaplin's. Is
that
correct?
That's exactly right.
Yep. Because every once in a while, you'd be doing a show, and you'd go, aisle three, ready, aisle three. They would just let people know that their alley was ready.
Lane 14. Yep. You know, it, it was a weird place to do a comedy show.
Yeah.
But you started a whole culture because there are so many Facebook pages. Like, I grew up in Brookfield, Illinois, and it's like, you might be from Brookfield if. So
it was a formula. You know, and the funny thing is, I think of myself as a comedian. I'm more of a storyteller. I tell stories about my wife and my kids and my family. The redneck jokes were one-liners, so they were easy to remember. They were easy to retell. And I kind of found out early in life the ones that worked the best weren't the bizarre ones. They were the true ones. But it was a formula. If so-and-so and so, you know, then... And it was one line. And in fact, Rich Scheidner pointed out years later, he goes, you don't even do them right. You put the punchline in front of the setup. Because I would always say, you know, if your son's name is Dale Jr. and your name's not Dale, you might be a redneck.
You just might
really,
be a redneck.
The right way to do it would be, you might be a redneck if,
right.
Then do it that way. But I never did it that way.
Well, to show you how much better of a stand-up you are than I was, you were smart enough to come up with, you might be a redneck. My bit at the time was, you might be red buttons.
And I didn't... Yeah, see, and I mean, how many jokes can you write with that?
You got nominated for your work in the Poseidon Adventure. That's as far as I got. I couldn't get any deeper than that. Now, the reason you're on, aside from just because we like you, is that you're going to be at the Rosemont Theater on January 27th. We've Been Thinking Comedy. That's the name of the tour. Rosemont Theater, January 27th. You want to go to Ticketmaster.com. It's you and Larry the Cable Guy. That's a pretty good matchup.
Me and Larry the Cable Guy. And we decided before we did this, it was like, okay, we got to do all new stuff, and there's no shortcut to doing that. You go back to the little clubs on Sunday and Monday nights with no cards in your hand, and we spent like a year just working on all new stuff. And so for the show, I do about 50 minutes of stand-up. He does about 50 minutes of stand-up individually, and then at the end we bring stools out, and this was his idea. We turn the lights up and take questions from the audience. Which I thought, oh Lord, this will be a goat road, and a lot of nights it's the funniest part of the night. It's just, you know, because we're lucky, we've been able to do this. Most people don't have long careers; they get into stand up,
yeah,
because they want to do TV or movies, and then they don't do stand up anymore. And we've gotten to do those other things. But if you ever put a gun to my head and said, "Hey, you could only do one thing," you know. Books, TV, it would be stand-up. It's just such a unique little thing, you know. You get to talk about what you want to talk about. And to me, the greatest compliment is at the end of the night when people come back and go, oh, my God, you've been in my house.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And it's so immediate, too, isn't it, Jeff? Something that happens that day, all of a sudden you're talking about it on stage at night and getting some reaction. That's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling, you know, which is the I think what makes radio harder. Because it's like what you do, you don't know if people, you hope they're laughing at it, but
right.
You know, they may be and they may not be.
Yeah.
There's something to be said when you can get that instant gratification of someone laughing.
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely. Back when Seinfeld had the number one show, we were talking about, because we used to, I had the sitcom, we were right next to each other in that, you know, with a TV show, it's rewrite and rehearse, and you throw it out there and you're on to the next week, and you don't really have that feedback. Hey, is this good? Is this funny? And with stand-up, you know 3 seconds after it's out of your mouth, it's either good or it's not good.
Right. So true. Are you okay on time, Jeff? Do we have you for a little bit longer, or do you have to run?
Okay. You've got me as long as you want me.
Jeff Foxworthy's here.
We're on till 3. Be careful what you say.
All right? Is that good with you? We've Been Thinking Comedy. That's the name of the tour. There are tickets available for the Rosemont Theater on January 27th, but not a lot. So dial them up quick. It's Ticketmaster.com if you want some tickets. We'll be back with more of Jeff next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Wendy, and thank you, Doris, from Boca Raton. Jeff Foxworthy is with us. Jeff is appearing with Larry the Cable Guy for their We've Been Thinking Comedy Tour. It will be in town at the Rosemont Horizon on January 27th, a 7:30 start. You want to visit Ticketmaster.com. All your ticket information is there. Jeff, every once in a while, I'll hear on the cable, on the satellite cable comedy that I have on my car, It's you and it's Bill Engvall and it's Ron White and it's Larry, the cable guy. And you're doing what you do at the end of this show with Larry. You're just sitting around just kind of riffing. And boy, that's always fun to listen to.
You know, it was funny when we decided to do that tour, the producers of the tour wanted us to come up with a big number at the end, like a singing thing. And I was like, no, no. I said, I was inspired. As a kid, I used to watch the Carol Burnett Show.
Sure.
Favorite parts of that show were when they made each other laugh. And so I said, instead of doing something big, let's do something very small and intimate and let us... We've been buddies forever. Can we just bring out stools and sit there and talk and try to make each other laugh?
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, that was their favorite part of the show. Because when you're a comedian, if you do your job right, you keep a straight face.
Sure.
And in fact, years later, when we were doing Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, Vicki Lawrence was on. And I was, during the commercial, I was talking to her about that. And I said, when I was a kid, that was my favorite part of your show. It's when you guys would get tickled with each other. And she said, you know, we would rehearse for 3 days. We would rehearse it the same way every time, and then they would open the doors, bring the audience in, turn the cameras on, and Tim Conway would do it totally different than we had rehearsed it. For no other reason but to make them laugh.
Right.
I like to see that. I know, even on SNL, I kind of like when they blow their lines and start laughing, because it's human.
Yeah, and you know, every comedian... started out as a fan of comedy.
Yep.
So, you know, when we're not on stage, we're laughing at each other all the time. So why not, you know, let the audience see that side of it?
Jeff, I have to ask you a question. I was lucky enough to work with Bill Engvall a couple of times. He wrote much nicer things to me in his book than you wrote to me in your book. But when they gave Bill a sitcom, there was an actress on the sitcom who played his daughter, and her name was Jennifer Lawrence. Did she ever go on to do anything else in show business?
No, I don't. Not that I know of.
No.
You know, as soon as she won the Academy Award, Bill was taking credit for it.
Oh, man.
You know, I kind of taught her everything she knows about acting. As opposed to me, when I did my sitcom, I think in 1995, the New York Post voted me the worst actor on television.
Good for you.
Yeah, and my wife said, well, would you rather be the worst or the next to the worst?
Right, right.
And I said, the only thing is they didn't say, I mean, television includes Barney, infomercials, fishing shows.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
You're worse than Barney and the guys on the fishing show. Worse than Babe Winkleman. Good for you.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, you brought up Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. What was that little salute you did at the end with the 1, 2, 3 finger gesture? Was that a shout out to your wife and girls?
It was. Because we had to film it in L.A., and so... And I've lived in Atlanta for the last 20 years because I wanted my kids to grow up around their family.
Yeah.
So it was just a little way to say, I love you, 1, 2, 3, to my kids without, you know, because I wasn't at home that day. So.
All right. Did you lift that idea from Carol Burnett since you said you watched the show where she tugged on her ear for what, her aunt, I believe?
Yeah, her aunt.
Or it was like her daughter, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. You
know, probably. Every comedian is... We're like magpies. We see things we like, and then we go take it and put it in our pile.
And create your own spin.
Yeah.
You do. Larry and I are working together because a year or so ago we started a thing on Sirius XM. We have a channel, Jeff and Larry's Comedy Roundup, and one of the things I do on there is a thing called a Comic Mind, where I interview comics where they're not plugging something. We're just talking about what makes you a comedian. And Bob Newhart said that. You know, I said, you have that ability to get a laugh without saying anything. That is just such a, you know, just a facial expression. And he didn't hesitate. He said, I stole that from Jack Benny. You know,
right. He was known
for that.
The best
of all. Yeah. Yeah. He would just react. That was his move.
Yeah. Just a lifted eyebrow and people are laughing, you know.
Jeff, I know that being a game show host is an often maligned position. People always consider that to be the lowest of the low, but not me. It always looked like you were having fun hosting Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And I see Drew Carey doing it on a daily basis, too. There's something fun to do in that job, isn't there?
Well, there was to do in Fifth Grader. When Mark Burnett called me and said, would you think about hosting a game show? I like you, I laughed at him, and I said, no, that's too cheesy. I said, what's the premise of the show? And he said, adults taking an elementary school test for a shot at $1 million. And I just went, whoa, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
But everybody's going to think they can do it. But as a comic, you know, I got to still be a comic. You got to kind of, you know, good-naturedly make fun of people.
Sure.
Because people would come on there so cocky, and then the 10-year-olds knew twice what they knew. And so, you know, for me, I loved the experience. I didn't think I was going to. I thought, oh, this is cheesy. And I found out that, it, particularly with that show, I loved doing it. And I could do it, you know, because there are no cue cards. There are no prompters.
Right.
Hey, I got your name, and let's play the game.
And it shows you how much harder school has become, because I didn't know all that stuff when I was in fifth grade. Some of that stuff, to me, was harder than a Jeopardy question.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you've got the embarrassment level of you don't know
it. I know.
The kids got their hand up. But I think that's what made it fun.
It was really a great show.
Oh, I can do this. And you found out pretty quickly, no, you can't.
Jeff, whenever comics talk, the conversation at some point turns to who are the best, and the same names always come up. It's always Richard Pryor, and it's always George Carlin, mm-hmm. and it's always Bill Cosby, who's had some problems since, but he's one of the best stand-ups of all time. Who's the most underrated? Who's the guy or woman that you've seen that you say to yourself, boy, they're not getting the credit they deserve because they're really good at it?
Wow. Yeah, you know, I mean, that was the fun thing for me on Blue Collar, was I got to take a couple of guys like a Ron White or a Larry the Cable Guy that nobody had heard of. And I knew, having known them forever, I knew they were funny, and to put them out. But there, I mean, there's a lot of people like that. You know, I think Jim Gaffigan's hilarious.
Isn't he?
Oh, he is great.
Brian Regan's hilarious.
Yeah.
Kathleen Madigan, a fabulous comic. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many. Bill Leff, you know, I mean...
How did he get involved in stand-up?
Comics of all time.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Rebound. Nicely done.
But see, it's good for you, Bill, because you're not doing stand-up anymore, but you can be funny on the radio every day. I love working in radio, and you're right, Jeff. You mentioned when we do live remotes, it's so much better to see the audience reaction. We just hope that everyone's laughing and giving us thumbs up right now. You never know.
I think you guys are making me laugh when I'm sitting there on hold during the break. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Jeff, so great to reconnect with you, and I'm so happy for your success. I told you this years ago when we were parting company at Zany's in St. Charles. You know what you're doing, and it shows. You're having fun, and you're making people laugh, and you're so good at it. We've Been Thinking Comedy. That's the name of the tour. It's at the Rosemont Theater on January 27th at 7:30. Visit Ticketmaster.com and get yourself some tickets. They're going fast.
But we also have a pair of tickets to give away, so we'd like to thank you for that, Jeff. You can go to Ticketmaster.com to purchase them, or you can be the 15th caller right now, 312-981-7200. We'll set you up with a pair of tickets to see Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy, as Bill mentioned, Rosemont Theater, January 27th at 7:30. So great to talk to you, Jeff.
Oh, this was like my honeymoon. It was fun, and I don't want it to be over, but thank you for having me.
Next time you're in town, stop by. We'd love to see you, all right?
I would love to do that.
Excellent.
Thanks,
good luck, Jeff.
Have a great week.
You too.
You as well. Thank you.
That's
so
Jeff
caller 15.
Yep.
312-981-7200. I love that guy, and I was asking you off the air, I probably should have told him this, even though it's this blue-collar comedy, there are wealthy people that still completely get it and laugh, and there's always a little bit of what he's saying in all of us.
Yeah, without a doubt. So true. All right, a quick break. Be caller 15 right now, and we'll tell you who wins, and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.